Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Take the radio show with you on the road. Download it today anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. Download it for free. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. We've been live since 9 a.m. Be rocking with you here on The Fan until 12 noon. You can call in 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067, or you can tweet us at AWOD Radio, AWADDRADIO. Got a couple tweets here we wanted to read. It says, AWOD, NCAA chalk this year. I can hear it through my computer screen. It's been a little frustrating for sure. Nothing but one seeds advanced pretty much. But like that's what happens when that's where the money is going, right? I mean, it's pay to play now, and those rosters are pretty much the most expensive. The SEC is outspending everyone. I got another tweet. AWOD, screw Willard for handling of the situation. Coaches come and go every year. They leave without the drama. From the moment he went nuclear, it's been nothing but Ashburn-esque drama. It is kind of funny how you can compare this Willard situation to the years of, you know, the disastrous front office with Dan Snyder and the Washington Commanders. Like, they were making bad moves. He made a bad move. But when we look into the action today, like, I think two things can be true. Number one, I would argue, even though the ratings are great, this year's NCAA tournament is missing the Cinderella story, the true underdog. But I'm very excited for today's games because we got some great matchups. Texas Tech versus Florida and Alabama versus Duke. It will continue with Sunday's 2:20 and then 5 o'clock. They always do it so right with the timing. I mean, think about this today, right? You go out to the bar, 6 o'clock. You can be there till 11 watching basketball. First tip-off's at 6:15. Next one's at 9. And then Sunday you want to relax right, at home. First tip-off's at 2:30, second tip-off's at 5. So they really do it well with the TV scheduling, and that's why I think they do so good with the ratings. Plus, it's easy now to find all the games. But I wanted to tell you guys about who I'm actually rooting for to win it all. And I've been rooting for this team to win it all for the entire year. And I think it's actually funny because it's the opposite of the underdog. I'm rooting for one of the big dogs. And that's because I think it's too good of a story to not root for. And that's Alabama Roll Tide. You know, it kind of upsets me, and I know a lot of people are upset that, man, we've watched Alabama be the greatest football school in America for, like, my entire life. Basically 30 years, it feels like, right, with Saban in charge, and now he's gone, and I think they're still going to have success. But in the last few years, it's all been about Nate Oates and Alabama. And his story's just too good, I think, to not root for him in Alabama. He was a high school coach for a long time. Finally got his shot. And he's made the most of it. And he's a good coach on the court. And he's good with his players. And he's good at X's and O's. But he is an analytics guy. And he's hiring analytics firms. And he's all about efficiency. And effective use of the three-point shot. And I would argue that the game of basketball is damaged because of the three-point shot. The NBA is broken. I mean, it's just you're shooting 63s a game. College basketball is trending towards the same thing. But at Alabama, the way they do it, I think it's fun to watch. It's different than the NBA because I think it's more fun to watch. They broke the NCAA record in their win against BYU. The way they play, it's just so entertaining. Mark Sears is the best guard in the country. I don't even think it's close. And that's an incredible story because that's a guy that started a mid-major program and just worked his way up and up and up and got better and better and better. And the hard work and the dedication paid off. But the way they play is so fast tempo, so fun to watch. And it's highly entertaining. And I kind of think it's like the early days of the Warriors dynasty when they were just getting started. They're changing the game completely. And I don't like 51 three-point shots when I look at a box score. But if you make 25 of your 51, 49%, Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be nothing but net. You're nearly going to beat everyone. So it feels like in the last few years, it's been inevitable that Alabama will win it all. Unless in this year's tournament, they have a game in which they shoot awful from three, 20%, and lose. But it's been building towards this. They've been making runs. I think they're ready to win a national championship. I'm happy for them because I'm happy for Nate Oates and the players on that team. I think Mark Sears is amazing. Chris Youngblood has been really fun to watch as well. It's got to be so tough for Nate Oates to coach basketball at a school that is nothing but football. Everything for them is football. But Nate Oates has been able to succeed. He's been able to have success. They committed to him when he had a Kentucky offer and a few other offers. And they're pouring all this money into the program. And he's a great coach. And that's who I'm rooting for in this year's NCAA tournament. I'm rooting for Alabama. And it sounds weird to say, and it goes against my hate for the SEC and how I really think, what are we doing here? Why are we having a regular season if you're going to put 14 of the 16 SEC teams into the tournament? But as I've told you guys, I respect the top of the SEC. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. They might have bought the best players in the country, but that's the wild, wild west right now. That's what you're allowed to do. And those teams have the best players. It's not even close, it feels like. I've been arguing that Arkansas, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Texas, Mississippi State, Missouri, half of them probably didn't belong in the NCAA tournament. But the truth is, the top teams in the SEC are the top teams in the country, and they're so damn good. And Alabama has been the team that I've been rooting for all season long, and I'm going to continue to root for them. My bracket has Alabama over Auburn in the finals. Grant Nelson is a really cool story for them. He's like 6'11", 230, but he can dribble the rock. And he has not had a good NCAA tournament. And if they're going to beat Duke, he needs to go above his average. He needs to step up in this game. 6 points against BYU. 5 points against Robert Morris. 12 against St. Mary's. It hasn't been good enough from Grant Nelson. That's the key. If Alabama is going to win against Duke, they have got to get a fantastic game from Grant Nelson tonight. 8:50 on TBS. Texas Tech versus Florida is your 6 o'clock game. And Florida, Todd Golladin took over that program and just has taken them back to the level that Billy Donovan had them with Al Horford and Joakim Noah, that team that won back-to-back championships. Florida this year is led by Walter Clayton Jr., and I'd argue there's nobody that's hit more big shots in this year's NCAA tournament than Walter Clayton Jr., who's just gone off for Florida. But they have so many great players. They have four guys that average double figures. They've got Hoff off the bench, who's been unbelievable, almost averaging 10 points per game. He's like their spark plug off the bench there, their X factor, their energy guy. And they've got big men that can defend the paint. That's exactly how you win. That's a recipe for success in March here. I think you got to take advantage. Like, you got to take advantage of the fact that it's chalk. Everybody knows it's chalk. Make some money on the chalk. I'm going Florida, and I'm going Alabama in tonight's action. As we look ahead to Sunday's games to find out who will be the final four teams remaining in this year's NCAA tournament, Tennessee versus Houston is going to be an all-out thriller. Houston, just so athletic. They defend so well. But Tennessee is one of the best defensive teams in the country as well. And they've got sharpshooters from the outside. So if they get hot, that would certainly give them a chance to stay in this game. It is a lower total because of the defensive battle at 124. I do think that's what we're looking at here. And if it comes down to just a one or two possession game, I think the nod goes to Houston in that favor. And then 5 o'clock on CBS on Sunday, Michigan State versus Auburn. Michigan State and Tom Izzo versus Auburn and Coach Bruce Pearl for a shot at the Final Four. That is going to be fantastic theater. That's got everything that you want in terms of the coaching matchup, the players on the court. Just so many stars. Michigan State, if you have not seen Michigan State this year, They are one of the most athletic teams in college basketball. It is wild to see how athletic they are. All right? So one of my favorite dunkers, all right? Every dunker's favorite dunker. My favorite dunker of all time, Max, is Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson took off like none other. Jason Richardson on the Golden State Warriors, one of my favorite dunkers of all time. One of my favorite dunkers. I mean, I used to have NBA Live. I'd go double through the legs like Jason Richardson. And now on Michigan State, we're watching his son, Jace Richardson, average more than 12 points per game. And he went off for 20 last round. He can shoot. He can drive like his dad. It doesn't seem like he has the same leaping abilities, but he had like five or six easy layups in the game. And then they've got this guy, Cohen Carr, that might be a better dunker than Jason Richardson was. At 6'5", that sophomore just literally leaped and took off over all Ole Miss players after a steal in the last game. One of my favorite highlights of this year's NCAA tournament was his monster left-handed jam. So normally I would say Auburn's guys are too athletic. This year Michigan State's guards are just as athletic as Auburn. The problem is they don't have Johnny Broome down low, who's just been one of the best big men in the country this year for Bruce Pearl at Auburn. He's a guy that's gotten better and better and better each year. He's now 22 years old. They've developed him. He was at Morehead State. He's been at Auburn for the last 3 years and just gotten so much more consistent. He's able to score in so many different ways. I think he's going to be a good NBA player as well. And, you know, that's it's probably hard to pick there in terms of the coaches between Bruce Pearl and Coach Izzo. But I think you got to lean towards the guy that's been to 8 Final Fours and predict that he will get to his 9th. So I will go with the most lame, chalky picks of a 1-seeded Florida, a 2-seeded Alabama, and then on Sunday, a 1-seeded Houston and a 2-seeded Michigan State. Is this what you want, NCAA committee? Is this what you want me to do? Pick all 1 seeds and 2 seeds. It's no fun. Where's the Cinderella? Where's the underdog story? It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. I don't know if it will ever return. As I talked about earlier, if the mid-major programs have any type of a run, any type of success, they lose their players. They don't even have to make it to the NCAA tournament. Think about George Mason Patriots. And right there in Northern Virginia, Fairfax, Eagle Bank Arena. They have one of the best years in a long time with the former Final Four player, Tony Skin, leads them to the conference championship game. The entire team's in the transfer portal. They're in the portal. They're shopping around, trying to get the best offer. They didn't even get the national exposure, really. They played like 4 nationally televised games this year, maybe 5, and then the A-10 championship. That's all it took. Like, we always talk about how they're moving the goalposts in football. They're lowering the rim in basketball, where you don't even have to get to the NCAA tournament to go out and then move on to a better conference. Your coaches don't even have to get to the NCAA tournament to go out and get a better job. And they don't even have to win games anymore to get a better job. That's what it used to be. That's what it used to be. I mean, I cover VCU. Shock Smart made it to a Final Four and then stayed. Ryan Odom just lost the first round and left for UVA. That's a different situation because that was his dream job, but it feels like they've lowered the hoops. It used to be you had to make a run to the Sweet 16. I think Coach Willard was leaving for Villanova, whether or not Maryland won their first round game or not. You didn't need the success. There's no loyalty anymore with college sports. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. It's AUDACY. It gives you the ability to take the radio show with you on the road here live and local just after 10:20 on a Saturday, March 29th. And this is my favorite month of the year, the madness, the mania, the amount of memories I have from March. I was telling my buddy the other day, My memories in March are all about teams that made it to the Final Four, right? It starts with Maryland, Juan Dixon and Gary Williams. Then it's Georgetown and their run with Jeff Green. And it's George Mason and their run with Lamar Butler. And then when I got to VCU, their run. I always have vivid memories of my favorite teams getting to the Final Four. And this year, I'm a little down on the madness this year. But the other thing is, Max, it feels like other sports are crowding March Madness this year. Like, MLB opening day this year felt like it was squeezed into the NCAA tournament. NHL playoff race, mediocre NBA regular season basketball, NFL free agency. It used to be all about March. Now it feels like the other sports have kind of crept in and stole some of the spotlight. Kind of weird to me. I've made my case for expanding the NCAA tournament, and that's simply because you can't let 14 out of your 16 SEC teams in. But, Max, I wanted to tell the audience a little bit about my trip. It is kind of really cool to be able to be there at the action. So I flew out of Richmond to Denver. This is my first time ever to Denver, Colorado. Everybody talks about the altitude. What they didn't tell you was to land in Denver, the planes have to go, like, straight down. I mean, my goodness, I stuck my head out the window, and I almost vomited. I mean, it is, like, so scary, and I'm already not good with planes. As soon as we landed, I mean, I got a massive headache and, like, felt like I had to run to the bathroom, and the flight attendant was like, yeah, here's some food, man. Your blood pressure's probably through the roof now. So didn't have a good start to landing in Denver, but the cool thing is we land, and we go straight to the arena, and we put our bags down, and VCU's at the podium, and then BYU was at the podium next. It's Texas A&M and Yale and UC San Diego and Michigan were all there. And it was so cool because they actually allow the media to go to the open practice. And it's not a hard practice, but the players are doing shoot around. They're running some drills, but you get to actually experience all of it and kind of talk with some of the beat reporters on the sideline. And Brendan Haywood, the former Washington Wizard, pride of North Carolina, the Tar Heels, was courtside hanging out, and he was going to be on the call as the color analyst. So, Max, I walked straight up to Brendan Haywood, and I'm like, yo, man, I'm a huge fan. I'm on in radio in D.C. and Richmond. I'd love to get you on the show. And so I sat down with Brendan Haywood for about 15 minutes, and the funny thing is, Max, the entire time I'm interviewing Brendan Haywood, this man is playing chess on his phone, on an app. And so at the end of it, I was like, dude, I play chess. I got his information. Now I've challenged Brendan Haywood to a chess match. But he was telling me all about how his time with the Washington Wizards, and I thought this was very insightful. He knew the culture was the problem in D.C., not the talent. He says the players all talked about it. Gilbert, Caron, Antoine, Antonio Daniels. I mean, just all the talent they had on that team, Deshaun Stevenson. They knew the issue was not the talent, it was the culture. They didn't have the right culture. They partied, they drank, they didn't practice as hard as they needed to. They messed around in the locker room. We all know the stories about Gilbert, but I thought it was so interesting that he said, Brendan Haywood said, him and Caron Butler still talk all the time about how they wish they learned from the Mavericks organization before playing for the Wizards. What happened was they both left the Wizards, ended up on the Mavericks, and I think they won a championship. I think I could be wrong on this, Max. You can check. I think Haywood won a championship with the Mavericks that year, or at least made a deep playoff run, and he could see the big difference between the culture of the Washington Wizards and the Dallas Mavericks at that time. And that's just so crazy to think about, because I feel like as a fan, we knew the culture was the problem, not the talent. I mean, Gilbert Arenas, at his time, was one of the best guards in the NBA. And Caron was one of the best small forwards. And Antoine was one of the best power forwards. And Brendan was a damn good rebounder. He didn't have the best offensive game, but a damn good rebounder and a good shot blocker. And they had a good bench as well. But they didn't have the right culture. And that shows you how important that is. And kind of leads me to my thoughts about the Commanders and the culture that Dan Quinn has built in just 1 year. So I had a really cool conversation with Brendan Haywood. Of course, had to ask him about even North Carolina getting into the tournament. And then we, talked about DC, talked about the NCAA tournament. I didn't realize Brennan said that while he was even still on the Wizards, he was doing media and radio in Charlotte. And he was doing as many kind of things as he could. He said he had a blog at one point. So he knew he wanted to get into media even while he was still in his playing days. And so it's kind of cool to see a former Washington Wizard that I really enjoyed in Brendan Haywood go on to have a lot of success. And he is calling on all these NCAA tournament games. And what's funny is I have this vivid memory of being a Wizards fan and Brendan Haywood and Etan Thomas getting into a fight. Etan Thomas was in the news recently. He's like a writer for The Guardian. And he was writing about why Paige Bueckers isn't getting the Caitlin Clark treatment. These former Wizards bigs are in the news. Just geeking me out here. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new sport, here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. So we got a lot to get to on the final hour and a half of the show. Mike Clay of ESPN wrote about red flags for regression for the Washington Commanders. I'm going to get into why I disagree with him. Wanted to go around the NFL as well. I have a take about LeBron James and his conversation on the Pat McAfee show, if we could squeeze that in, Max, in the final hour and a half. But when we return, we got a very special guest who will join us, and that is our buddy Chris Knocke. Ex-coach Chris Knocke will join us next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And joining us right now, he's always on the go, and he is the ex-coach Chris Knocke, who will join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. What's going on, Coach? How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Well, it's sad end to a Maryland basketball season, but all in all, it was a pretty good run.
Yeah, and I want to jump right into it, and we'll get to Maryland in a second here, but this NCAA tournament as a whole, it's getting great ratings. I would argue that's just because how easy it is to get the games now. Everybody's got it on their phones, their iPads, the tablets. It's easy on YouTube TV now. But this tournament as a whole, in my mind, is missing a Cinderella story. It's missing a great underdog story that people can buy into. And I'm not saying it hasn't been a great product, because it's always going to be a great product with the brackets and the overlapping games on TV. It's so exciting. But it feels like it's missing something to me. What do you think, Coach?
I would say so. And I know a lot of people want to trace that back to NIL and the fact that the rich have gotten richer and fatter and better, and there's a bigger delta between the haves and the have-nots, i.e. the Cinderellas. But I think that we have to wait and see. It may be the case this year. I don't know if that will hold long term, but it's been a very chalky tournament, and I don't know that that's good for the tournament, because the history of the NCAA tournament is, like you said, it's filled with Cinderellas, filled with great stories and buzzer beaters, and we really haven't even seen that many buzzer beaters. A couple of them, one last night, I guess, Houston-Purdue, that happened at 0 dark 30. I'm not sure that a lot of people hung out for the end of that game, but it's remains to be seen as to whether it'll stay like this, Adam. I don't know. I guess we'll figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, you make a good point. It's too early to tell, probably, right? It's a small sample size. But for this year, I think my take is that, it's chalky. And I think it's because, in my mind, from what I've seen, my eye test would say, the talent gap has expanded between the one seeds and the five seeds, and the five seeds and the 11 seeds, and the power conferences and the mid-majors. Do you think the talent gap has expanded?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that has, like specifically about the one and two seeds, is one of the things that amazes me about those teams is their depth.
Yeah.
We saw Florida the other night, and they just bring guy after guy off their bench, and they've got a lot of responses, a lot of answers. They're a lot, most of Division I is very starter dependent, not a lot of depth, and as a result, not a lot of margin for error. But I think there has been a growth in that talent differential. And again, that's probably what leads to the lack of Cinderellas. But, you know, we'll see where that this takes us here over the course of the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, I think my biggest thing is when the team that you support goes on a run and then their players get plucked up to another team, that's what is the most upsetting. Here with Coach Chris Nockey on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give me your coach's perspective on the final play, Houston versus Purdue. Would you defensively, would you have your guy, would you make sure that he knows to stay on the inbounder? And then from the offensive perspective there, it seems like just a simple play, but so hard to execute.
Yeah, I mean, it was really well done by Houston. And the fact that it's done in the last few seconds of a game like that shows you, I mean, they're a steady, solid team. And, of course, Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. Smith, who kind of wandered off the ball, that's unforgivable in that situation. Underneath the basket, you have to be so solid in that situation when you're defending underneath your defensive basket. And that's one of those little things. You leave that inbounder open, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to get the ball right back to him. And I don't know what the discussion was, what the communication was. My guess is that's a play that Purdue walked through, that, you know, a Houston inbounds play, because that's generally what you do before the game, walk through 4 or 5 of their sets out of bounds underneath. And maybe there was some discrepancy in the communication. But, yeah, it was a complete lapse, and that's the Big Ten player of the year who made that mistake, and it's a costly one for Purdue.
Coach, I want to go back to Thursday's action, and my goodness, BYU versus Alabama was so entertaining. Felt like zero defense was being played. BYU, you know, stuck with Alabama for about, you know, the first half or the first half of the first half, and then Mark Sears, you know, stopped missing, and Alabama stopped missing. And they score 113 points in college basketball. How insane was that, man?
Yeah, you know, I was watching that on my phone. I was getting ready to do the Maryland-Florida game, so I didn't have the audio going on, but it was surreal because every time I looked down, they were getting buckets. And at one point, I walked away from my phone, came back, and we're like 6 minutes to play. They had 96 points, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is headed – this could be a 120-point game. I've seen Alabama in person a couple of times when they've really got it going. And, you know, they let it fly. They're empowered to shoot a lot of threes from a lot of different situations in a lot of different sets. And when they get it going like that, you know, it's kind of otherworldly. And the strange thing is, Adam, is this is a BYU team that played with a lot of pace themselves. They're very comfortable playing up-tempo. And I would have thought BYU's defense would be a little bit better than it was. I saw them, as you did, against VCU. And I thought they were outstanding against VCU, although they didn't get VCU's best punch, I don't think. But they look like a pretty well-rounded team. And, man, Alabama just reduced them, right? I mean, that was a clinic offensively.
Yeah. I mean, I thought BYU would hit more of their shots. I mean, I thought they were getting open looks. They just weren't falling. We got Chris Nockey with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Follow him on social media at XCoach. Nockey, TV and radio analyst for Terrapin Hoops, and let's get to Maryland. And Coach, you're on the inside, so you can give me your take on this, but what I've been saying is I feel bad that in college basketball, when you win the round of 32 game, that's supposed to be the best 4 days of the year for your fan base, and it didn't feel like that for the Terps this year.
I think in retrospect, I mean, I think at some point in time people appreciate a Sweet 16 run, but your point is certainly correct. And I think two things can be true in this situation. First of all, I would never begrudge a coach an opportunity to look, you know, if people knock on your door and want to discuss their jobs, a open job with you, I would never begrudge a coach that, the ability to have that conversation. But I just think it was handled poorly. And that's one of those things that, you know, as I said, two things can be true. And I think that Willard, you know, obviously he had a very good year running the ship for the Terps. Villanova is a prime job. And not only that, it's a prime job without really the football burden of NIL.
Yeah.
They do have a football team, but they're not funded like a Power Five team is. And so, you know, it's an attractive job. I just wish it had all been handled a little bit better. And I don't know what's going to happen. I assume at this point in time, I don't know how he, Kevin Willard, would necessarily come back. But I would hope that he would have second thoughts about it and reconsider. I don't think he will, but it's an unfortunate situation for sure.
Yeah. I mean, winning does change everything, right? So, I mean, maybe if you had upset Florida, maybe if you had won a few more games, maybe you could have fixed things within the fan base. It's been a tough situation. But, Coach, you can provide the inside perspective on not just Coach Willard, but around the country. The reason these coaches have to flirt with another opportunity and get to work right away on that is because the transfer portal opens before the season comes to a close. Why has the NCAA not fixed that?
It's lunacy. It's absolute lunacy that we should have this going on. It's akin to having NFL free agency, you know, open up before the end of the NFL season.
Right.
It makes absolutely no sense. And I agree with you. There's a sense of urgency. And to that point, Adam, one of the things you got to look at, like if you're Maryland and you lose Willard this weekend, as you would expect is going to happen, reading the tea leaves, for every day that there is that job is open, Maryland head coaching job is open, you fall miles behind in the portal. You know, so it is really incumbent, to get that job filled quickly and filled well. But then again, you know, it's not as easy as you would think because there's no sitting athletic director, you know. So you got that as well. Who's making the hire? Who's doing the interviews? Who do they recognize that, you know, all that urgency or at all? And so there are a lot of different factors at play here. Not all of them are positive. In fact, very few of them are positive.
Right. And the big issue with not having an AD, like you've mentioned earlier, is – well, a lot of schools have to decide which of the money goes to football, which of the money goes to basketball. The Big East schools have an advantage there. So do some of these mid-major programs have an advantage there. Maryland's in a tough situation, just like a lot of Big Ten teams, because a lot of money needs to go to football. So, you know, another question is how do fans handle this new era of it's 1 year. It's a one-year commitment. I mean, I thought Coach Odom had an incredible quote in his final moment at VCU, which was, every team now in college basketball has one life to live, and our team lived it to the fullest. But that's where we're at right now in college basketball. It's 1 year, yeah. One life.
Yeah, yeah. And to your previous point, the best college basketball jobs in America from moving forward are going to be the basketball-only jobs. You know, Creighton, Gonzaga, VCU, where you don't have football to compete with as a money suck. And I'm respectful of the sport. Obviously, college football, it is the tail that wags the dog, but it's also comes with it, some issues and some problems. But, yeah, there's no more three-year plans. There's no more four-year plans. In fact, there's probably no more two-year plans. You effectively make your roster for next year in the springtime, and then you have to do it all over again the following spring. And that's kind of where we are. We saw Maryland successfully remake their roster, and they're going to have to do it all over again. The two mainstays, the two guys you would hope would stay, Kobe Gillespie and Rodney Rice, are probably going to be pretty hot names in the transfer portal. And to think that they would stick around as you kind of endure this coaching search is probably unrealistic. But, we'll see where all that goes here in the next couple of days.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. I got to ask you a tough question before I let you go, because you've been in and around the program. There's been a lot of talk on social media and from this fan base about how upset they are with Kevin Willard. And the names they're throwing at him, a rat, a snake, and all this, that, and a third. And a lot of them are pointing to the way he ended things at Seton Hall as well. Can you maybe speak to Kevin Willard as a person and his character? And, you know, is this the kind of person that we're going to expect for him to be now at Villanova as well? And what has been, you know, your perception of watching this whole thing unfold?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to understand that it's we're in a completely transactional period in college sports, and it's not specific to Kevin Willard or Maryland Hoops or Villanova. It's just sort of where we are at this point in time. He absolutely could have handled it better, and I get how the Maryland fans would be sort of disappointed with being effectively, you know, sort of the program drifting in the wind a little bit. And I think, to your point early on, the weekend in Seattle should be one of those things that people completely celebrated, and yet it was simply a subplot to the whole thing that was going on, the drama around the coaching, search and all that. So I don't think he's a rat or snake or anything like that. I think it's just kind of where we are in this game. I think he's a good coach. The other thing is I think he's good for the program in the sense that he's a lot like Maryland basketball. He's combative. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and I think that all worked. But it is what it is, Adam. We live to move on. The dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. You know what I'm saying? You gotta roll with the punches and make some good choices moving forward.
How quickly do you think Maryland will move to find a replacement?
I think there's a good replacement in house. I think you can elevate one of the, David Cox, who's an assistant coach and he's been there for 3 years, got a great relationship with these guys and the team, and you wouldn't miss a beat. And he also has done a boatload of work in the portal already, so there is that possibility that they would do that, I guess. That's certainly one I would encourage them to examine thoroughly, because that way, you do have a chance to keep those guys who would kind of be the core of your team next year for sure.
Chris, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Bye, buddy. Good talking to you.
Yep, that was ex-coach Chris Nocke, TV and radio analyst for Maryland Basketball. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're streaming in Richmond on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on air. We turn to the National Football League, the NFL. Truly is the sport that never sleeps. It has been a pretty interesting offseason. And inside of the NFC East, we got big news this week that Russell Wilson signed a one-year, $10.5 million contract with the Giants. Russell Wilson's kind of been a joke in the NFL, but he's had success. And I'm a little worried about Russell Wilson to the Giants, to be honest with you.
What?
The Giants have been an issue to the Commanders, Max.
This is true.
The Giants have found a way to win games with Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. They can win games with Russell Wilson. I'm not saying they're going to win more than 7 games this season, but I'm worried about them playing Washington.
Listen, Russ cooked us last year already.
Now, he's a joke in the NFL, but... And the way he speaks now, it's kind of wild. I mean, just my goodness. He just feels like he's so, media trained. He's not even really being himself when he speaks now. But he signs a one-year deal with the Giants, and I'll tell you this. It makes the NFC East much more interesting because we thought that the Giants were going to be awful once again, and they still might be. But now I would say they're more interesting than maybe the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott coming off that major injury. And nobody in Dallas being excited for Brian Schottenheimer Jr., right? So, Russell Wilson to the New York Giants. And when you look at that roster, it's not as bad as everyone kind of says it is. I've kind of been a fan of their coach since he got the job. I know he messed up a lot of things. I more think that was the owner and the GM letting Saquon go. But... that offense is pretty talented. Tyrone Tracy's a good running back. He proved that this year. Malik Nabers, solid wide receiver. I think they need help there, and it's not Slayton and Zach Pascal or Wandale Robinson. And we'll see about their offensive line. But I think the Giants will take a step forward. I don't think that it'll be tough for them to get out of the cellar of the NFC East, but I actually think that was a decent move for them. I actually... think it was smarter for the Giants to bring in Russell Wilson than it was for the Steelers to let him go. What are you doing, Pittsburgh? You're going to wait?
Going to wait for Rodgers.
You're going to wait for Aaron Rodgers to announce on the Pat McAfee show live on April 9th in front of a studio audience that he'll be heading to Pittsburgh to stink it up for another 17 games? I mean, why? Why would you do that? Like, if I felt like if you were the Steelers, you had to decide. We're either going to go with Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. Not neither of them. That's just crazy to me.
I think in New York, there are a lot of there are going to be a lot of conflicting voices in that quarterback room just because, like, Jameis has a way of connecting with the team that not a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
So, and Russ wants to have a connection with the guys that not a lot of quarterbacks do.
Well, the thing is that the quarterback room is Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito.
And maybe Shedeur Sanders.
And in a month, it might be Shedeur Sanders as well.
It's going to be crazy.
And then what do you do at that point? Do you play Russell Wilson for 1 year and let Shedeur sit and wait? I mean, I think there's a scenario in which Russell plays 9 games, Jameis Winston plays 5 games, Tommy DeVito plays 1, Shedeur Sanders plays 2. That's their season.
Yeah, I
you get 4 quarterbacks in there. I mean, I think this is good for the NFC East. It's another storyline to make the NFC beast powerhouse again. We know how good Philadelphia is going to be. I believe Washington is going to be very good. And I just think that adds to the excitement of every divisional game. And if I'm a Commanders fan, I'm definitely a little bit worried now about losing to the Giants. It took everything to beat the Giants twice this year. It wasn't that easy. Jaden had a drive us down the field for a field goal at the buzzer, and the only reason we won that game is because Malik Nabers dropped it on fourth down. And then we go to New York, and we win 27-22, and we nearly lost that game. And then we lost 3 more after that. It certainly took a lot out of us because we lost to the Steelers, Eagles, and Cowboys right after that win. If Washington's going to have the success that I want them to have, and we're going to get into that next of over under 10.5, they've got to beat the Giants twice. And it just got a lot harder, in my mind, with Russell Wilson as starting quarterback. Over-unders are out for the National Football League. Washington's line has been set at 10.5. Mike Clay of ESPN, his projection is under 10.5 as he points to an abundance of red flags. I'll give you my opinion on why I do not see the red flags that Mike Clay points to next here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan.